It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 8 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're going to talk about the number 52 today as we talk about several people that made an impact with the number 52. You know, the first one's my biggest favorite.
And my least.
I know.
Ray Lewis.
I mean, being facetious.
Yeah, you can't deny the man was a great linebacker. Despite playing for the Baltimore Ravens and despite just not being a very good guy. is definitely a dominant one. At 51 last week, we had a bunch of linebackers.
We did.
Some mean linebackers at 51.
And Ray Lewis falls in that category.
He does. He probably should have wore 51.
Yeah. And probably gave one of the greatest Hall of Fame speeches ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess I'll have to take your word for it.
You should YouTube it if you hadn't seen it.
Did he say anything about the Steelers?
Not that I'm
not a chance. Okay. Jamal Wilkes, pretty good NBA player, has some rings with the Lakers. Patrick Willis was a great linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to save the best one for last. Robert Brazil. I remember Robert Brazil in the old Houston Oiler days. He was mean.
Yeah, he was.
A guy who I take for my conditioning program, CC Sabathia.
Yeah.
he encourages me to stay in shape.
I thought you were saving the best for last, but we're about to get to a Green Bay Packer.
Well, I'm saving the best for last. Clay Matthews.
Love Clay Matthews.
Yes. I'm telling you, that's a guy that I don't know. He may have had all the athletic ability in the world, but he just seemed to have drive and heart and.
You know,
comes from a football family.
Yeah, yes. And we talk about some kids at times, a lot of times in basketball, about being a Tasmanian devil. Clay Matthews was a Tasmanian devil on the football
field. He was at the pro level. Tegan Gallardo of NFL.
That's right.
Hey, before you get to what you're saving your best for last, back to Patrick Willis. He's one of the few NFL players that you see that retires in his prime.
Yeah, that's right. He was away at the top
of his game.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And I've got on here a center, Frank Gaskey of the Marshall Thundering Herd, in the NFL Hall of Fame, played for the Cleveland Browns, also in Marshall's Hall of Fame, of course. He was the first inductee into the Herd's Ring of Honor, and NFL Hall of Famer needs to be on this list.
I agree.
So,
even if he is from Marshall,
you're just not a rallying cry.
With a 5 second
delay.
I'm with you.
Even if we did look around like, who? we agree.
The great Gatsky.
Yeah.
The great Gatsky.
Google it, young people.
Yeah.
It is a leather helmet guy, but he was a great one.
All right.
All right. Well, let's get started, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Not as much as usual because. We only had one team out of our eight teams that played last week.
Well, Cossetop played some.
That's true.
So we had two out of eight.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you for correcting me
there.
That's
okay.
We're going to start with the DeQueen Leopards, and Leopards off last week. Tony, 2-1 on the season, had a big win over Lafayette County their last outing. Now they're going to Hope to face the Bobcats. And Tony, being realistic – probably the best chance that the Leopards have to win a conference game.
That's not a stretch to say. Hope, though, that's a tough place to play. It's an even tougher place to call a football game.
Yeah.
but the Bobcats have showed some life here in the last couple of weeks, Greg. They beat Ashdown 25-19 a couple of weeks ago. That was impressive, but to me, even more impressive, they go to the wire with their rival, Prescott, and only lose that game 28-20. That's the closest that ball game has been in years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Bobcats scored first. Trey Hogland to Jaden Brown. Both guys are athletes. The Leopards will have their hands full on the defensive side of the ball. Hope has Joel Bellow. I remember him from last year, and he's going to be a problem.
Did you say Joe Blow?
No, Joe Bellello.
I thought you said Joe Blow there for a second. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll go back and listen to it, and if you're right.
No, it's okay. I'm sure you didn't. I just
Joe, if you're listening.
Joel Bellow, right?
Joe Bellow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't say that?
Yeah, you probably did. But it just sounded like Joe Blow to me.
Sometimes I just talk too fast.
Well, it's okay. Joel, if you're listening, we appreciate you listening, and we know what your name is.
We do. We do. It's right here. I can even spell it for you.
But Friday night, go ahead and call him Joe Blow.
I'm not going to do that.
I think that'd be. I think maybe I'll
get a hold of Jay's roster pregame and change it.
You know, Joe Blow scored a defensive touchdown. You know, against Prescott. Yeah,
Bobcats, another team. I have a lot of respect for Coach Philip Turner. He came from Bryant and has probably won more games at Hope over the last 4 or 5 years than somebody else in that same position would have won. They've not won a bunch, but. It should be a really good game Friday night. Looking for a big, a good game.
And you know, they kind of got the opposite problem we have. You know, we've got a growing enrollment that puts us up somewhere where we may not need to be. They have a declining enrollment maybe has them somewhere at this point in time where they don't need to be. And they're actually going to move down after this rotation.
They're going out of the conference on this cycle. So this will be the last, unless they decide to play non-conference, this will be the last game with the Bobcats for a while.
Yeah, at least 2 years.
At least 2 years. Yeah. And like you say, the trends are that they might not be in the same conference in the foreseeable future.
That's right. That's right. But, good opportunity for the Leopards to start out 1-0 in the conference.
Yes.
Let's see what Coach Richard Bell has to say.
Coach Bell, since the Leopards are coming off a bye week, I wanted to take an opportunity to talk a little bit about the Junior High Cubs. They're coming off a thrilling 28-24 win at Texarkana Thursday night, off to a 3-0 start. Your thoughts on the Cubs?
Yeah, Coach Dykes and Mendoza and them, they do a great job with the Cubs, and we get to help out as much as we can, but those guys do a great job with them. And then Thursday night, it should have been not even that close. We kind of shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times on some special teams plays. Punt really got us on a couple of times. They returned a punt that we muffed, you know, and then we spiked the ball. Just learning, I guess, curve for the young guys on what to do on special teams. You got our running back. He's doing a great job moving the ball. I think he has over 200 yards every game. The old line's doing a great job making holes for him. And as long as Hunter Dinkins can keep running the ball like he is, I expect him to keep winning some ball games.
Leopards coming off a bye week. What were your goals to accomplish during the bye week to try to improve? And do you feel like you did that?
Yeah, main thing in the bye week to me is lay off the hitting a lot, you know, try to, you know, recuperate some sore muscles, but really pour on the cold as far as conditioning and learning knowledge-wise. So we did a lot of film work, and we did a lot of running more than we usually do during the week, but we didn't hit any, you know. So what I tried to do was, you know, try to up our conditioning and also up our knowledge of what we're going to be doing, and hopefully we did that.
Well, the Hope Bobcats, Philip Turner, they're off to a 1-2 start, but they seem to be much improved. Give us a scouting report on the Bobcats.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job. Sure, Coach Turner always does a good job. They have a dual threat at quarterback. They have two different quarterbacks that go in, a lefty and a righty. Number zero, he's a dual threat. He can run it or he can throw it. So they're tough. They got a good running back there at number 24. Took it to the house there against Prescott. You know, Prescott's always got some speed, so he's one of those guys that we're going to have to contain. Their old line's blocking better. Yeah, so it's going to be a tough game for the Leopards.
Well, fourth game, third road game, conference opener, keys for the Leopards.
Keys to victory always to me is we got to control, the turnovers, and we got to do control the time of possession. We got to have the ball in our hands more than Hope does. Drive the field, don't make mistakes, and then have a touchdown at the end of that drive.
Good luck against the Bobcats.
Go Leopards.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic here to assist you in meeting all of your veterinary needs in Southwest Arkansas. Think of them as your other family doctor. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen. You can give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. To schedule your appointment today, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, you can call them at 870-898-5181. And join the rest of the community community that believes in Martin Veterinary Services. Just look at their reviews, 5 stars across the board. You can trust no one better to take care of your furry one's needs, whether big or small. Routine checkups, spay and neutering, medications, and so much more. Place your trust in Martin Veterinary Services and you won't be disappointed. They're huge pillars of the community as well, sponsoring local sports, community events, and fundraisers, so much more. Southwest Arkansas thanks to Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Services for the excellent care they provide. Martin Veterinary Services, proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Horatio Lions were open last week also. They're 1-2, and they host the Centerpoint Knights this week, who are also 1-2. But Centerpoint's coming off a win against Spring Hill last Friday night, 22-18. So probably coming in with a little confidence, but they're coming down to Lion Field, and they're going to have to play down there. And, I can't help but be impressed with the Lions. You know, they don't
the
have –
they've held it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've had some injuries that made people move around. They're probably, based on what I think I know, they're probably down. They're under 20 players right now.
Yeah,
and so it's hard to play a football game, because you get people get tired.
They do.
They don't get to come out.
Well,
there's no breaks.
You don't even get the sense of a full scrimmage in practice.
No.
Because you don't have 11 on 11.
Yeah.
So it's hard to replicate another team's offense with that few, young men. I mean, they're at a lot of disadvantages. I will tell you, though, I think this is their third home game of the year. So if you want to go watch the Lions this year, it looks like Friday's going to be nice. You need to get out because the home games are running out.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. You're talking about that scrimmage, and maybe Coach Merrick's out there running the scout team. Yeah. I think that'd be
– I would love to see Bryce Merrick under center on the scout team against the Horatio Lions. Coach Willis, make it happen.
Yeah. get Marvin Martinez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him to hit Bryce.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. if that happens, please get video.
Yeah, please get a video of that. So we'd love to see that. But anyway, Centerpoint Knights coming to the Horatio Friday night looking for a Lion victory.
I'm here with Coach Paul David Willis of the Horatio Lions. Coach, probably a much needed week off before you start the conference season.
Well, I did. I had a great weekend. We went down and visited my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandkids down in Texas. So we had a big time.
Great. That's great. And I'm sure you got to work on some things that the Lions need to work on during the off week. But, anybody still injured or everybody pretty much healed up after the week off? How's that going?
Well, I wouldn't say we're healed up. We lost Richard Frady for the year against the Queen. And then against Foreman, we had two young men that both got real high ankle sprains, and that's not an easy fix. So they're both definitely out this week and probably going to be out for, a couple more anyway.
Right. Well, speaking of this week, you got Centerpoint coming to town. They're 1-2, but they beat Spring Hill in their last game. What do you know about Centerpoint?
Well, Centerpoint's well coached. I know that their staff's been together a while and they do a good job. So they're going to be prepared. I know they had a real good bunch last year, had a lot of success, and I would say they're probably a little bit down from that group, but they're still going to be a formidable foe for us. And we're going to have to play and play with great commitment, great pride, and really execute. I mean, that's really what to me hurt us the last outing is we just didn't execute.
Yeah. Well, I know that Centerpoint, and the last few years has they really been really good. But I did think they were down a little bit this year. But I think, like you said, it's more about execution than it is anything else. You got your guys playing hard and doing things. You just miss some of those executions, and that can cost you games.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I told you I went to Texas, went to church with them and got to listen to a sermon about Elijah and Elisha. And, you know, he was asked to follow the Lord's way, and he made a big commitment by killing his ox and burning all his equipment, and, you know, basically just committed to following a certain path. And, you know, that kind of struck home with me, because I think that's something that our kids need to understand, that, you know, sometimes, and I'm not asking them to kill their ox or nothing, but, you know, they need to make a commitment. And I think it's something that young people need to understand, that whatever you're going to do, you need to make a commitment to do the best that you can at it and you know, live up with that commitment. And I'm not sure that society understands that today.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I think now you got a lot of kids more interested in video games and phones than they are in working out and getting ready to play whatever sport they play.
Well, you're right, and it's I mean, that's not a football thing. I mean, it's not even a sports thing. I teach algebra, and it's the same way in the math classroom. Kids are not real committed. Homework is kind of like the dinosaur. It's antique.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore, can you?
No, that's too hard work.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the thing about it is, Coach, is that, you know, I'm going to tell you, with your football team, I think you've got some committed players. I think they play hard. Now, you know, sometimes they're going to make mistakes, and you get kids injured, and as short as you are, that makes people play in places they're not used to playing, which is not helpful, but I look for Horatio to be competitive in this game and throughout the rest of the year.
Well, I sure hope you're right, and we're working to get there. I just I hope we unravel the secret.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, and I'm going to be talking to you next week about a victory over Center Point. I just can feel it in my bones.
Well, I sure hope you're right.
Yeah, and I don't think that's weather changing. I don't know. It may be.
Hey, I'm getting old. I understand that. I understand that story.
Yeah, I know you do, man. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and go Lions.
Thank you.
Foreman Gators also off last week after a big win against the Horatio Lions. You know, that rivalry game, they got to take the trophy home. But guess what they get now?
What's that?
They get to host Junction City.
Yay.
The number two team in 2A.
I wonder if Junction City started this way yet.
If they hadn't, they'll be late for the game. That's for sure. They'll be late for the game. But, you know, the Junction City 2-1, but – they've played some really good football teams. They're probably one of the best teams in 2A in the state,
yeah.
I would think. They're rated number two, at least in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette last Sunday. And going to be a tough game for the Gators, but I know they're excited to play it.
Off a big win, Junction City is, 2 weeks ago over the Smack over Buckaroos. Them and the Buckaroos are usually competing. Mm-hmm. They compete every year. I don't think they're in the same conference, but they play each other non-conference every year. Buckaroos, one of the best nicknames.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say Buckaroos without thinking of Buck Owens. Buck Owens, yeah. And the Buckaroos.
That's right. Yeah.
You think Buck Owens is their mascot?
No.
He is not.
Man, that is a missed opportunity.
There's a horse is their mascot.
Really?
Isn't right?
Yeah.
Well, and I don't understand that.
If you're the AD at Smackover, please give me a call. I think Buck Owens and Roy Clark. I think Hee Haw probably ought to be the fight song.
Yeah.
So I've got some. I'm an idea guy.
Yeah, I know.
We know some idea guys, and I'm an idea guy.
Not always good ones.
Oh man, but anyway. Tough task for the Foreman Gators this week, but hey, they're looking forward to the opportunity, and we'll see what Coach Ed Baker says about them.
I'm here with Coach Ed Baker of the Foreman Gators, and Coach had an off week after a big win over Horatio 34-14, and got to celebrate that a little while. And how'd the off week go for the Gators?
It was good. We had a junior high game, so we weren't completely off, and then it allowed us to
to kind of look at what we've done the previous 3 weeks and see things we need to work on and kind of spend some time correcting those issues going into our next games.
How's everybody physically? Y'all all in good shape, ready to go for the conference season?
Well, you've got everybody available, so we're in, you know, you got the usual bumps and bruises, which are common this type of year for everybody, but we don't have any. Knock on wood, we've got everybody healthy to play.
Yeah. Okay. Well, did you give the kids any time off during that week, or did you just remain steady with what you've been doing? Or
not really necessarily time off. We I guess maybe Friday, we lifted Friday and watched some film, but other than that, we were kind of had a normal practice schedule for the most part. So it was not a typical week, but in some instances, it was a typical week.
Right. Well, you know, moving on to this week, it's probably a good team to have 2 weeks to prepare for, because you're going to face the Junction City Dragons as they come into the to Foreman to play the Gators, and there's going to be you know, that right now I looked in Sunday's paper, they're ranked number 2 in y'all's class. So, going to be a big game for the Gators Friday night.
You bet. They're definitely a state title contender. They're big and athletic up front on both sides of the ball. And then they've got good skill guys in the backfield on both ends, offensive and defensive. So it's going to be a really big challenge for us, but I think our kids are excited about it.
Well, that's great. And you get to play them at home, which is also a big plus. They get that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It beats that. Now, we'll have to go down there on Thursday night, so it will be a late night Thursday night for us, but we'll have everything in that we need to have in before that game, so we'll be good to go.
That's great. So, just looking at Junction City, I mean, they're undefeated so far. You know, they played Harmony Grove, Carlisle, and Smackover, and I think they're 2-1. Go ahead.
I said, yes, sir. I think they're 2-1. They played some quality teams, so they're going to come in here ready to play, and they're always well prepared. Like I said, they've got some players to go along with good coaching, so it'll be a challenge for us.
Yeah, and they're returning a lot of players too. I mean, 9 on offense and 7 on defense. That's from a team that, you know, went 9-4. So that's a lot of people back on offense, both sides of the ball. So
yes, sir.
Yeah. So there'll be a stiff test for the Gators. I know the Gators are ready for it and excited to play. And after a week off, they're ready to go for the conference season. And Coach, I just appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to me today. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Go Gators.
You bet. We appreciate you having us. Go Gators.
All right. And I want to give a massive, massive shout out to our brand new title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, helping us in so many different ways by sponsoring us. It is Pilgrim's Pride. And hey, man, you can go to jobs.pilgrims.com if you want to learn more about what it's like working for Pilgrims. But we've talked about it a lot on this podcast. A lot of their areas overlap with ours, and they employ the community. They're a lifeline here, and it's not just working in the actual plants. It could be you're a poultry farmer and you are raising chickens for Pilgrims. You're driving the trucks. You're doing there. It's so many different things. So many different jobs for you out there. Plus, we get to all go to the store and enjoy great chicken from them as well. So their mark is everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, you don't even have to do that. If you're eating chicken somewhere at a donation, Pilgrims probably donated that, and a lot of times cooked it.
True.
Their employees cooked it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very involved in the community, you know, so you,
yeah,
in all the communities. And, you know, you talk about there are so many different people that are associated with Pilgrims and with the chicken industry,
mm-hmm,
doing different things that, you know, they employ and they benefit so many areas of our local community. They've got a hatchery,
yep,
over in Nashville. They've got a feed mill north of Nashville.
Right.
They've got this plant in the Queen, which is one of their biggest plants and one of their most productive plants.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Listen to this kind of list of jobs, and there's so much more than this too, but you can hop, if you want to join the Pilgrims team, you can find jobs in accounting and finance, in administration, animal welfare, building and grounds, business and operations, culinary, customer service, driving, engineering, environmental health and safety, fabrication operations. You can join hourly productions, hourly maintenance, hourly sanitations, human resources they hire for, internships they have, talent programs, finance and fabrication operations. It's endless, the amount of that. Sales and marketing. I mean, research and development. There's a place for everybody to work at Pilgrim. So maybe you're not on the production floor. Maybe you're not that kind. You want to be in the office. Maybe you want to be driving the truck. Maybe you want to be doing sales. All of it is available to
Security
you.
Security guard.
Security guard, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There's literally no stone unturned when it comes to working with Pilgrims. So, and the greatest part about it is their benefits, let's be honest. You can learn so much more about Better Futures, their free community college program we talked about a couple episodes ago. Their insurance, comprehensive medical plans for the care you need. Growth. No better company to take ownership of your own career growth than Pilgrim's Pride. Learning, take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development program. This is not like one of those businesses where they're going to hold you down. They want you to stay in down. They encourage it. Move on up the in the company. 401ks, paid holidays and time off, and so much more. The benefits at Pilgrim's are absolutely amazing. So, you know, I know you can drop application. By. They have an office for that. And then also you can just go online at jobs.pilgrims.com.
Yeah, they're looking for you today.
That's right. If you think you can join their team and be an asset to one of a thriving company here in Southwest Arkansas, join Pilgrim's Pride today.
Ashdown Panthers played last week, one of the two teams in our area that played. They had a tough game against the Idabel Warriors. They were ahead at halftime, 28-7.
Well, yeah, they got off to a good start.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, I know the Panthers are down in numbers. I think they're in the high 20s right now. And that kind of, when you see that, when you see a team jump on a team and then the other team kind of storm back, one, it says a lot about the Warriors. I'm not going to deny that. But it also says a lot maybe that the Panthers are getting more out at the end of ball games just because there's just so few of them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and just, a really tough loss. I think they were expecting maybe a win there, especially at halftime. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, and being a Razorback fan, I understand quite a bit about that. But
we're going to get
we'll
to that.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I started to bring that up and left it alone.
But you know, it anyway, even though they ended up losing that game, they had some outstanding performances.
They did. They did. Riley Williamson he rushed for 117 yards, threw for 205 yards. He combined for 5 touchdowns. And then Bryson French was Williamson's top target. He picked up 4 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown. So some outstanding, especially on offense, individual performances for the Panthers. But, you know, when you give up 47, it's hard to overcome.
Yeah. Yep, it really is. This week, the Ashdown Panthers are going to play the Harmony Grove Cardinals.
And they're 2-1.
They are 2-1.
You know, you look at who they've played, I think Ashdown could win this game. They've not really started with a good non-conference schedule. So I think if the Panthers play well, it's one that they can win. But it's going to be another good ball game.
Yeah. Do you know which Harmony Grove this is? Is it the Benton Harmony Grove?
It is the Benton Harmony.
That's what I thought.
Grove. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Because there's a Wachita one, right?
Well, there's a Camden Harmony Grove.
Camden Harmony Grove.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think there's another one in there. Come on, Tuttle. What are you doing? Wake up.
How dare you wake me up?
Well, you're going to have to
There's at least two Harmony Groves.
Yeah, we know there's two, and there may be three.
They're playing Benton Harmony Grove.
Which one is Haskell? Isn't it Haskell?
There's a Haskell Harmony Grove, but I think that's
Benton.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
When you look on Friday night, Fearless Friday, it says Benton, but you're right, it's in Haskell.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, so. I can attest to that.
All right.
Yep. So, you know, looks like it should be a great game, right?
Oh, I think it's going to be a really good ball game. It's one I think that if the Panthers play well, and it's one they can bring home.
Yeah. Tony got to talk. Got a chance to talk to Jim Cross about it, and let's hear what he has to say.
With play-by-play man Jim Cross of the Ashdown Panthers. And Jim, your games have not lacked excitement or offense over the last couple of weeks.
I tell you, offensively, with Riley Williamson at the helm, in some ways, Tony, kind of reminds me of the Razorbacks. You know, offensively, we got a really good quarterback and got some explosive weapons. But then defensively, if the game goes on, you know, when you only got 26 guys, you know, sometimes hitting that gap for the tackle, you're a step behind. And it's, I mean, if we played one half, we'd have been in pretty good shape.
Right.
And, but, you know,
kind
second
half.
The
story is the Hope game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, we were up, we scored 21 straight points in the first half against the Idabel. And you're thinking, okay, here we go. We're up 28-7. And then, they outscored us 26-6 in the second half. And, it was a close game, but we just couldn't. In the fourth quarter, we were just out of gas, quite frankly, and just couldn't hold them. And they got a good quarterback in Mac Dixon, and you know, they'll score a lot of points on a lot of guys on a lot of teams as well. But you know, if we just had about five more guys, Tony, and I think things would be a little bit different for the Panthers.
Well, it sounds like that, you know, it sounds like you're all getting gassed. The other team has another body where you guys are moving bodies around, and that's making a big difference as the game goes on.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, and here's the other piece that Coach McCaslin talks about is in practice, you're kind of walking a tightrope. You need to work these guys really hard so they can play all those plays. But then at practice, you don't want to have your best moments on practice. So it's a real tough sledding for the Panthers trying to figure out. And then in practice, you don't really have enough guys to really get a good look on the scout team either. And so, I mean, it's a, you know, when numbers, you know, the good news is everybody plays. And everybody's contributing, and we only have five seniors. Now they're all, the seniors we have are very, very good players, and we're going to miss them tremendously next year. But all these other guys, everybody's getting some experience. And you're playing a lot of sophomores.
Well, Jim, you mentioned Riley Williamson had the big game. Who else offensively had a big game for the Panthers?
Bryson French had a long touchdown reception. Hudson Hillis at the receiver position had several catches. Tyler McCaslin also had a big grab. So there were several guys offensively that caught some passes from Riley. And like I say, Riley had over 100 yards rushing and over 200 yards passing, you know, from the quarterback position.
He's quite the athlete.
Yeah, it's fun to watch him play, Tony, because it's kind of like watching this is a ridiculous comparison, but it's like I watched the Chiefs last night and watching Patrick Mahomes, and he never gets tackled. And it's kind of like Riley. He just kind of weaves and he wobbles and he looks like he's fixing to get tackled. And somehow he very seldom gets tackled.
Well, you know, the guys like that, you really ever get to hit them square either. And I, you know, and Mahomes is the same way. It seems like, now I'm not going to say he hasn't been thumped a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to get hit square like a standstill target, like some quarterbacks are, Aaron Rodgers. That's not them. What about on the defensive side of the ball, Jim?
Colton Rowe had his typical good game at middle linebacker. I mean, our defense is only going to go as far as Colton takes us. And, you know, he's a 10. You can go ahead and mark it down. He's going to have 10 to 12 tackles each game. Colton is the guy that, to me, he's a football player. And what I mean by that, he's a throwback guy. He's not going to beat you in a 40-yard dash. Now, he's real strong. Now, he could bench press a house. But he's just always in the right spot. And at that kind of position at middle linebacker, he's never in the wrong hole. He never gets fooled. And he just is always in the right spot. And a matter of fact, in the Idabel game, he made a great job at covering one of the receivers. And once again, the receiver's probably faster than Colton, but Colton knew the scouting report. It was in the right spot. Right. To knock the ball down. And he's just the old prototype middle linebacker that you and I grew up watching.
Wow. So who's up this week?
We got Haskell Harmony Grove, and you know, they're an interesting team to play, Tony, because they're going to run the old flex bone or wishbone, whatever you want to call it, and nobody else runs it. And so basically you've got 4 days to prepare for this completely new offense that no one else runs.
Yeah.
And so you know, they kind of have a leg up on you early. But I think the key is I think we have got a little more speed than they have, and I would assume that they'll have their hands full with Bryson French on the outside. Yeah. So if we can get them behind the chains, you know, get them at 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, you know, that's tough because they don't throw the ball much. But, if, you know, they're going to get 3 and 4 yards of play, and that's where we have to, you know, put them behind the chains and make them uncomfortable. But, you know, they're going to run that fullback dive and quarterback counter and little wing back counter, and that's what they're going to do. And they're going to tell you to stop it. And if you can't, it's going to be a long night.
Well, yeah, because they just keep the ball and milk the clock. And
yes.
The offense is designed to play keep away. So, well, brother, let's talk about a Panther win next week.
Man, we need to. And you know, really, these next 2 weeks are going to tell it all, because you feel like that we have a good shot to beat Haskell. Now, they could beat us, obviously, but them and Genoa, you got to win those two. Because if you don't win those two, you know, then you're rolling into the gauntlet of, you know, Bauxite, Malvern, Arkadelphia, Nashville. So you got to get some momentum, you know, going into that. And we feel pretty comfortable with our chances against those two guys. Not, like I say, not that they can't beat us, but you got to get those two and then kind of go from there.
Well, man, you're so gracious to talk to us. We really appreciate you, and go Panthers.
Let's do it. Let's talk next week with a victory.
I'm all for it. Take care.
Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye.
All right, now it's time for my favorite part of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, the awards segment.
All right, and we're going to go over these awards, and we're going to talk about all our sponsors. And we have somebody picked out for each team, even though most of the teams didn't play. So just somebody that's done well and worked hard and, in our opinion, deserves a mention at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we're going to talk about the Queen Leopard Player of the Week, and that's sponsored by the Woods Agency Shelter Insurance.
Luis Sotelo, halfback linebacker for the Leopards, and Luis didn't go out last year, had a great freshman year, if you remember, Greg, mm-hmm. over 1,000 yards and making a big impact for the Leopards this year.
All right, and moving on, we're going to talk about the Ashdown Panther Player of the Week, and that's sponsored by Domtar.
Colton Rowe, 7 tackles and a pass defended this week against Ida Bell. And Jim says that he's a better young man than a football player. He's a pretty good football player.
He's a really good football player. Moving on, the Horatio Lions Player of the Week, sponsored by Horatio State Bank.
Isaiah Samuel takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Just, yeah. He gets up every time, and I have a lot of respect for the young man.
Sophomore quarterback yep. for the Lions. Former Gators Player of the Week, and that's also sponsored by Horatio State Bank.
Caleb Buchanan and Connor, help me with this.
Cannon. McElhannon.
McElhannon. I even phonics it out, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Cannon.
He's going to have to go back to phonics.
But
both linemen down there do a great job and just need a mention. And we want to make sure we get them mentioned there. Moving on, the Nashville Scrapper Player of the Week, sponsored by Loveless Refrigeration.
Jacoby Hopkins having a really good year for the Scrap.
The Dirks Player of the Week.
Brayson Talley, center, defensive lineman, having a really good year, playing those positions that don't get mentioned a lot. And we just wanted to recognize the young man today.
Okay, and that was sponsored by Shelter Insurance, Todd Moore.
That's right.
Insurance
Sorry to get ahead of you there.
That's okay. No problem. The MENA Bearcat Player of the Week, sponsored by Union Bank of MENA.
Tucker Strickland. And Tucker, he spells Strickland the right way. I have a lot of respect for that, but he is tougher than a pine knot.
Costart River Player of the Week, also sponsored by Union Bank of MENA.
Tacker Bodie Lyle, Coach Barrett didn't have enough good things to say about him. He just kept gushing about him. We wanted to give the offensive lineman a shout-out this week.
All right. So that's all the schools. Now we've got our area awards, our offensive player of the area, sponsored by Toad Thumper Lures.
Bryson French had a big game, 4 catches, 104 yards, and a touchdown for the Panthers.
All right. Moving on to the defensive player of the year, sponsored by Horatio State Bank.
Causatot Rivers defensive end Branson Mitchell. You know, Coach Barrett was telling me that they ran his way a couple times and then they quit running his way. Everything was going to the other side. They wouldn't run at him. Says a lot about.
So the ultimate sign of respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's great. Then, lastly but not leastly, the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area, and that's the T-shirt.
That's right.
And you win a T-shirt, and it's sponsored by Mud Creek Designs.
And to the surprise of absolutely no one, Riley Williamson, 12 of 23, 205 yards, 3 touchdowns. Add to that 16 carries for 117 yards and 2 touchdowns. You get 322 total yards and 5 touchdowns. That is
not
pretty good.
Not a bad night.
No, it's not. It's not a bad night.
That's a really good night. And Congratulations to Riley for being our Mud Creek Designs Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area. One more thing we have to talk about before we move on, and that's the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week. And, man, what a big game. And, you know, we're going to be talking about 4A games all the time, Tony, because there's just so many good teams in that conference.
There is. It's the SEC of 4A.
Yeah, it really is.
And, you know, if I wasn't I have other obligations Friday night and in Hope. If I didn't, I'd be in Arkadelphia watching this one.
Yeah.
Nashville at Arkadelphia.
Yeah, going to be a great game, and that's the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
UA Causatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. Visit cccua.edu today to find out everything you need about UA Causatot, including how to apply and enroll, all of their programs of study, financial information like how to pay for college, and all of the scholarship opportunities for our community. You can even learn about their technical programs like automotive and diesel service technology and so much more. UA Causatot has such a wide array of programs available to you, there's no reason to wait. This doesn't just apply to high school graduates either. If you're still in high school, visit cccua.edu and learn about UA Causatot's high school programs. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors are able to take up to 15 credit hours for free per semester through the Access to Acceleration Scholarship Program. No extra paperwork is required by the student for this scholarship, as the High School Programs Department ensures their information is submitted to state institutions for reimbursement. Medical professions, industrial technology, welding technology, and so much more. Ready to start when you are. Visit cccua.edu today and see what UA Causatot can offer you. UA Causatot. If you start here, you can go anywhere.
Okay, that's pretty much the sums up the high school area action. So we're going to talk about some of the things we're interested in, or some of the things we feel like we have to talk about. Some of them I'm not interested in. You know,
we'll talk about the shot that Tuttle gave you across the bout last week.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that, yeah, but that's okay. It was deserved. You know, tough weekend for old Greg. You know,
tough weekend for old Tuttle too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I thought it was glorious.
Yeah, I know.
Herd wins, Steelers wins, West Virginia gets embarrassed at Kansas. It couldn't have went better for me. But yeah, we'll go ahead and talk about you guys.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the deal is, I've decided that being an Arkansas Razorback fan is a test of endurance. And
Paul wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. I think
it's in a letter to the Corinthians.
I've run the race. I've finished. I have failed. I'm not a fan anymore. No,
they
I'm just kidding.
They seem to like, and I've got it in here on our notes, but they seem to like a toughness that, and maybe that's just all of college football, but the Razorbacks seem to be particularly not tough.
Well, there's two things that I'm going to point out. And, you know, and I saw the Ole Miss game in person, went down there.
Congratulations.
By the way, wonderful experience.
We wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, the Grove is an amazing place to tailgate. And those people are so nice to you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just couldn't have been nicer. And of course, after the game, they were really nice, you know, because they beat us. But anyway, I mean, just a great experience. Now they don't have that great a stadium.
Yeah,
you know, their stadium's kind of old, but who cares? Not a big deal. But great experience. But the last 2 weeks, you know, you know, that Ole Miss game, I'll give him a pass on that because that all that guy was doing was trying to make extra yards.
Yeah.
And he'll figure out one of these days that, you know, they'll tell him that that's the time you get down because we cannot afford to have the ball stripped.
Right.
You know, and that's just something, struggling to get extra yards and the ball just comes out. You know, that just happens. You know, we could have won that game easily. Now, last week when we were ahead by 18 points, you know, I think we got a couple of questionable calls, but that's not what beat us. What beat us, again, you know, Washington is getting paid a lot of money. He ought to hold on to the football. But even after that, on 3rd and 7, we hit their second-string quarterback at the line of scrimmage, and he got 8 yards when he needed seven.
He drug the defensive Razorbacks. Yeah, guy. 8 or 9 yards. Mm-hmm. Their backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, just
a different perspective on that in Washington to me is we have that lead, and in the second half, we don't focus on our running game until the last drive, last two drives of the game. I mean, we had a running attack that's working. We shouldn't be throwing it around the whole time. I mean, you just let them back in.
I had one Razorback fan text me, "Well, they're gonna fire Pittman this week, and Juracek and all that." And I said, they're not gonna do that. That's just not what Arkansas does." Now, but I mean, is Pittman on the hot seat?
He's done.
You think he's done after the end of the year? I don't think he finishes the year.
Yeah, but I think he was done before the season ever started.
Right.
This was his last year. They don't want to fire him because they don't want to pay his payoff. They'll let him retire and move to Hot Springs. Yep. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Seems like a great guy, by the way.
Yeah, and I think he is a great guy, and I think he's a great coach.
Yeah.
I think he's probably – you know, there's lots of things that could be going on, but there are a couple of things about Memphis I want to mention real quickly. One is I believe that when you look at Memphis, you're seeing the result of NIL money and transfer portal.
Yeah.
And you know, we think – as Arkansas players, fans, we think, well, we ought to beat Memphis by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Well, that's not the Memphis that used to be Memphis before NIL. FedEx has poured money into them. They poured money into them. They've only lost like, what, 4 games in the last 3 years?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they have petitioned every conference that would give them a meeting trying to get into a Power 4 conference, and they are definitely one of the best G5.
I was going to say, you know, going into the season,
they may be the leader now for that New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Or not the New Year's Day, but the playoff.
Getting the playoff.
Going into the season, they were being mentioned as, you know, being that team.
Well, they haven't done anything to cost them that yet.
Nope.
And, losses have come to a couple of good teams, but they were definitely self-inflicted losses.
But now I'm going to give you why I'm a Razorback fan.
Here we go.
The most Arkansas thing ever is to lose to Memphis the way they lost and beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Hey.
I should have had the Notre Dame fight song queued up.
but you know the fact is that I mean we beat Tennessee last year.
Yeah.
I mean we can beat a good team.
Oh yeah.
It's just our defense has got to play a little bit
Notre
better.
Dame is beatable.
Yeah.
It's the battle of Lou Holtz.
Yeah. Now, I'm not putting any money on this.
No.
That's not going to happen. I'm just telling you, that's the way Arkansas is. They lose to a team they ought to beat, and then they beat a team they shouldn't beat.
In related news, John Gruden was spotted at an Outback last week with red underwear in the restroom. So I actually saw somebody putting out Gruden's name. And
at least
that's
they
what happened before they hired Pittman. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least he wasn't
forget it,
in a
folks. John Gruden is not coming to Fayetteville. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But anything else you want to say about the Hogs?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Marshall, great week this week. One. So, you know, before we move on to pros, let's talk about the Hogs' 3 annual foes.
Yep.
They got the toughest, what was called the toughest 3, right?
Yes.
And
in the world's doing this?
I don't know. I mean, it's like they don't want us in their conference.
It is. I mean, I couldn't believe this when I saw it. Just from what the other options could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So our annual, so we get to play Texas, LSU, and Missouri every year.
Yeah.
One of them was our former rival from the Southwest Conference.
Yeah.
One of them was our greatest rival in the SEC. And the last one, Missouri, is...
It's just beat the dog out of us all the time.
It's who they want to be our rival. And yeah.
Missouri is the team that every Razorback counts as a win every year, and they get beat.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they have Cody Tedford's college roommate as a coach.
Really?
True
story. So Cody is responsible for getting the Hogs beat at the end of the year?
Yes.
I couldn't believe this when I saw it. And what were the other possibilities? Let's talk about that. Maybe this is the best they could have done. I don't think so. I think that probably, I mean, A&M's closer than Austin. Am I correct, or is that about the same?
No, it's probably a little closer.
Yeah. Norman is definitely closer than
I don't know how much that would have helped us, but...
Well, I was going to say, if you get...
Well, I'd probably rather drew Oklahoma than LSU or Texas.
If you get A&M... Yeah. Oklahoma and any of these three, you still say that's probably the worst.
Well, you're going to get Missouri. You're going to get Missouri no matter what.
Yeah.
Ole Miss. So, man, I mean.
Yeah, that's the thing about
it. Texas is the one they could have replaced because the other two, I mean, you got the boot and the, what do they call the one that's supposed to be a rivalry? The borderline.
Border. Yeah, that shelter pays for that. Yeah. they pay for that, but which is okay with me. I don't mind.
Jeff Woods writes a check for that every year.
Yeah, he does. they're trying to make that a rivalry. I don't think. For some reason, you know, we always had a chip on our shoulder in the old Southwest Conference because we were the only Arkansas school. Every other school was in Texas,
right?
And so, even though, you know. We always thought of Texas as our big rival. They didn't think of us as theirs.
No.
Not at all.
A&M was there.
Well, A&M or Oklahoma. Yeah. One of the two.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the thing about, and I don't think Missouri thinks of us as a rival either. I mean, there's got to be some parity in the wins and losses before that ever becomes a possibility.
I did see an interview a few years ago with Drinkwitz, and that is his name, the coach, and they said something about the borderline rivalry. And he said, how's it a rivalry? We win every year.
Yeah.
Man. Facts.
He does not like confidence. He does not like confidence.
Well, then he doesn't like the fact that he didn't get this job either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was in on it too, I think, at one time.
Cody would have enough pull in Fayetteville that he could have got him the job.
I don't know.
He may not have wanted it after he looked at it, you know. But anyway... No, anything else y'all want to talk about with that? Because, I mean, I just think every time we, you know, it's just like when during COVID. Now, there's only one way to say this. They screwed us. You know, when we had to go to those extra teams, we got Georgia and Florida.
Yes.
Now
this is the equivalent of the AAA.
Yeah.
Taking care of Greenwood.
Yeah.
They take care of Texas, and they take care of LSU, and they take care of Alabama, and they take care of Georgia. And I used to say that a lot years ago, and everybody'd look at me like, "Nah, that's not, yes, it is. They're going to take care of those teams."
Well, if you want to make our whole conference better, wouldn't it make more sense for our three teams to be Missouri, Mississippi, and Mississippi State? You know, and I know we hadn't been playing with Missouri, but I think there's a good possibility we could win. You know, those could become games that
could be competitive.
Yeah, competitive in. You know, I mean, these three teams that we got here, I mean, and I'll leave Missouri out of because I still think at some point in time we're going to be competitive with them. I don't know when that'll be.
But, when John
maybe
Gruden gets the
only band. In my dream. But
two of the three are a few of their cash cows.
Yeah.
And as he's saying, they're going to take care of them.
Yeah.
They're not worried about what games Arkansas.
No, they're not. They're not worried about what. They're going to get from Fayetteville. They're just not. Yeah. And you know, and what's Arkansas going to do? Turn down that $65 million check that the SEC sends them for simply being in the SEC every year? They're not going to send that back either.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Let's move on to the pros before we start whining. Any surprises in the pro ranks this so far? Do you think any team surprising you?
The Colts?
Yeah.
the Colts with Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't see that coming. And apparently the New York Giants didn't either.
Well, I watched the New York Giants play Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City's playing horribly, by the way.
They are.
But you know, they just wore out the Giants. And my whole thought was, when they putting Jackson Dart in?
Yeah. That game was more like a rock fight.
Yeah.
It was ugly. It didn't look like NFL football.
No. No, not at all. But that surprised me. I'm not as surprised by the Colts. I think the Colts, when they go to play some more significant competition, they may have a little more trouble.
Yeah.
But in
the division they're in with the Texans, who are off to a 0-3 start, and the Jaguars, I mean, who else is going to win that division?
Yeah.
Why couldn't those be the Razorbacks' three permanent?
your permanent games are against the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Colts.
That'd be all right. But I think that when you look at the Cowboys, they're doing about what I thought they'd do.
They're a 65-yard field goal from being 0-3.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – and they – of the three games that they've lost or should have lost, they looked the worst mm-hmm. against the Bears. Holy cow. They got mauled.
Yeah. So I didn't get to see all of it, by the time I could look at it, it was so far gone I didn't watch it.
Yeah, and now CeeDee Lamb's hurt.
Yeah.
And he's having an MRI, and I think he's going to miss a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, if that's the best news.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
George Pickens.
Well, they got a plan. I'm sure it's a poor one, but they've got a plan. And Green Bay, Green Bay lost the game this week. They didn't expect to lose. I really believe that. I'm surprised the Browns beat the Green Bay Packers.
You waiting on my take on that?
Well,
I've been waiting all week for your take on it.
You're going to love this. I had a really relaxing weekend. Didn't watch a single down of NFL football. Instead, I went and watched two son-in-laws play in the Howard County Ryder Cup golf at Nashville Country Club. So I knew nothing about this until Monday morning. So you don't realize how relaxing it is to not watch your team lose.
Well, I've watched a good bit of it, back and forth between the Steelers and the Browns, because that's what we
was
do
it
at the
bad?
Stowers house.
I mean, was it
the Packers? Looked like they didn't take them seriously, is what it looked like to me. And if the Browns need to wear the uniforms they wore Sunday, every Sunday, they were all brown, all with orange letters, even a brown helmet. It was sharp.
They couldn't see them.
It was yeah.
Well, they were so dull it put the Packers to sleep.
Speaking of that, we had the conversation, I believe, last week when the Packers broke out the all whites, the white helmets.
Yeah, that was sharp.
Those are the best looking uniforms they wear.
Yeah.
I'm a traditionalist. I like the traditional
star on the helmet.
Well, no, I like, it's like the Razorbacks pull out gray. Why? I know the kids like it, and that's why they do it.
Let me tell you something about Browns fans. And my dad's a Browns fan, lifelong Browns fan. The Browns have the ball about a minute to go and have the lead, and Dad is still, they're going to lose. They're going to find a way to lose this.
Yeah. But, moving on to the Steelers, you talk about the Cowboys being 1-2 and looking horrible. You know, the Steelers are lucky to be 2-1.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You win the turnover differential 5-0. Now, I guess you got to credit the Steelers. They didn't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
But you ought to be whipping teams. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be eking out 21-14 wins over the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Getting a +5, and but here's the deal. Here's the deal with that. Ravens get beat last night.
Yeah.
They're 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals, without Joe Burrow, they get boat raced by the Vikings.
Yeah.
And the Browns are the Browns.
Oh, yeah, they're still
why not
there.
The Steelers?
That's right. That's right. And you know, but the thing about it is, you know, and I still go back to what we talked about the I still think the Bills are probably the best AFC team this year.
Yeah. Well,
far they have.
Yeah. Been. I'm sticking with Packers Bills for my Super Bowl picks.
Me too. But I
sorry, Jeff.
But there's just the thing about it is when you this is my perception of the Steelers, and I don't mean to offend you. It looks like they let everybody get old. The whole team.
There's no doubt about it. They're the second oldest team in the NFL.
Yeah.
When you average their ages out, and they're catching guys on the backside of their career. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody thinks that about Aaron Rodgers, but you know, Darius Slay. They just signed JT Watt to TJ Watt to a huge contract. He's 31.
Mm-hmm. James Harrison.
They signed they signed Cam Hayward to another big contract. He's like 36. Mm-hmm. Now he probably won the game for him Sunday. He played really well, was responsible for a couple of those turnovers. But the Steelers are this close, and I've got my fingers about 2 inches apart from having to blow the whole thing up and start over.
Yeah,
they are.
And I mean, if their management is what I think it is, that's what's going to happen after this year.
Well, and I think that, and I think they do that without Mike Tomlin.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they start all over fresh.
Yeah. And that's a good possibility.
Yeah.
You know what? We're less than a month away from the start of the NBA season. Can you believe that?
I didn't realize it.
October 21st.
Yeah.
Can I mention something about the MLB season before we...
Yeah, let's do that. It's almost done.
We can't let it pass without mentioning Clayton Kershaw announced his retirement, you know, last week.
Mm-hmm.
I've just sat here and looked up a few things. He done something that you don't see very often. Since 2008, when he debuted in the major leagues, he spent his entire career with one team. You don't see that very often anymore.
Nope.
11-time All-Star, 3-time National League Cy Young Award, 2014 MVP, won the World Series in 2020, one of only four left-handed pitchers to be in the 3,000 strikeout club. I mean, so that's one of Major
cool.
League Baseball's best has announced his retirement and had a good season this season.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he's washed up and giving it up.
Week to go in the baseball season. This would be the matchups as of right now in the American League. The Guardians, I'll never get used to that.
Me either.
We'll play the Tigers in the first round. The winner would get the Mariners. So, of course, there's a week to go. It can jumble a little bit. Listen to this one. The Red Sox and the Yankees, and the winner would play the Blue Jays, all out of the same division. And then on the other side, Bill Stower, Cincinnati Reds, is the last team in the National League as of right now and would play the Dodgers. And the winner of that series would play the Phillies. And then the San Diego Padres would play the Cubs. And the winner of that would get the Brewers. They're also your Cincinnati Reds, Jeff.
That's right. I see Greg over here looking up one of the greatest spectacles in sports about to take place this week.
Oh, man, I would love to go.
Me too.
So much.
I'd rather go there than to any major they have, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to mention the Ryder Cup's going to be this weekend. I was looking trying to see who the teams are. And, when you look that up, it takes me forever to do it. So they're playing. Where are they playing this year?
Bethpage Black.
Yeah, Bethpage Black in New York. So, just going to be a outstanding.
Keegan Bradley, the captain for the U.S.
Yeah.
And probably should have picked himself for the team. And, you know, he caught a lot of flack over that. And he didn't do it.
Right.
But
so you got Scottie Scheffler, J.J.
That's
Spahn.
Tyler's man.
Huh?
That's Tyler's man, Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, yeah.
He's my man now, too. Even though he did play at Texas. J.J. Spahn, Xander Schauffele, Russell Henley, Harris English, Bryson DeChambeau. Who that guy hits the ball, he's got the weirdest looking swing.
He crushes the ball.
He
flattens it out.
Yeah. Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Morikawa, excuse me, Ben Griffin, don't know him, Sam Burns, Patrick Cantlay, and Cameron Young.
Sam Burns, kind of a local. He's from Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching him play.
But then when you read the U.S. the European team, it's like a who's who list, almost.
Yeah.
You know, it's got Rory McIlroy, Robert McIntyre, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Rasmus Højgaard.
That's exactly Tyrell how they Hatton, say it.
Shane Lowry, John Rahm, Sepp Straka, Victor Hovland, Ludwig Åberg, and Matt.
Who hits it as far?
Patrick.
DeChambeau.
Yeah.
You can have to be a tough dude to go through your school years with the name Ludwig.
You put those teams on paper and the European team wins every time. But yeah. That's why they get out there and there's some gamesmanship. I mean,
that's one of my favorite sporting events to watch on TV.
There will be a
TV. Ryder Cup.
There will be a TV at Mena pre-owned. Turned on to the Ryder Cup Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
Or Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, isn't it? They do so 3 days.
There's a charge. You heard that, right?
let me get my wallet down.
I don't know. I mean, if you're not a golf fan, it's almost like live golf.
Yeah.
You know, they don't play music and everything, but they're booing them and yelling at them and throwing stuff and they're doing this to each other and I mean it's crazy.
Nobody's seen that but us.
Yeah, I know.
No. But, I'm gonna tell you what it. You think that these pros don't care, don't take it seriously, or don't? It doesn't matter who wins. You've not watched the Ryder Cup.
No.
It is very, very, very hyper competitive.
Yeah.
Luke Donald, the captain for the European team.
Yep. Yep, and so looks like a fun weekend of sports.
It does.
Yeah, got the big Notre Dame game.
Yeah, you going?
I'm going.
I am too.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, anybody else? You got anything else? Anything else you want to talk about?
Just ready to have some high school football back.
Yep, I am too after the off week.
Yep. Well, here it comes. We're ready to go. And that's it. We just want to take this opportunity to thank all our sponsors. We appreciate it. We couldn't do it without them. Thank the everybody that listens to us. Hope you're enjoying it. And if you're not, call Jeff Tuttle at 870. Never mind.
Well, is there any way I can get a date? I might get my number out.
I think you got a better.
We need to do a Southwest Arkansas Sports page on here. Love is blind, because love would have to be blind.
They like to laugh, but not look at somebody.
I'm looking. Yeah, there you go. He's a good human being.
He is.
Isn't that what you say about ugly people?
He's sweet.
Yeah, he's sweet.
He's Thelma's cousin.
Oh, man. Anyway, we appreciate everybody listening. We really do. And because if we didn't have you, we wouldn't be here. But most of all, we appreciate all the kids and what they do and just getting the opportunity to talk about them. That's why we do this. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Glad Tyler cut this off 5 minutes ago.
He didn't cut it off.